Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money.
Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You've got the Financial Guys podcast here on whatever you're listening to this on. This is our one-year anniversary show, I believe. We've come a long way since last year, and we're still,
crazy.
Believe it or not, we're still having technical issues. We're still not happy with where we want to get
this.
It's
not our fault. It's not our fault.
It's amazing how...
It's the equipment's fault.
It's
I'm telling you.
Well, I think we got to change out maybe this thing, what do you call this thing, a mixer here? This Mackie mixer. So I don't want to give away all of our secrets, but we're using multiple mixers. We're sometimes in multiple locations, and sometimes that makes it difficult to do a podcast because the technology's not really there. We've tried Zoom meeting, we've tried GoToMeeting, we've tried all kinds of things, and we're using two Comrexes on either end, which are quite spendy. It's what we use for our radio shows. Comrex unit allows us to dial into basically any radio station via internet anywhere in the country and sound like we are right in studio right there, which is really cool. So sometimes we'll pop on to different shows across the country. Mm-hmm. But it's not yet working as well as we want to work it for the podcast. However, I will say that from at least understanding how to do the podcast, you know, some of the things I was thinking about the other day, Mike, is kind of funny. But, you know, we're 22 years in radio. So in radio, you're taught that, you know, people are tuning in and out. You know, they're changing channels or getting in and out of the car. And so
you want to constantly
refresh what you're talking about. Coming back from breaks, we were just talking with so-and-so is on the air with us. Or
after 20-something years, you'd think we'd figure that out, though. We really don't.
But No. Well, sometimes we do. We do pretty good.
We just keep rambling.
Well, but sometimes we're pretty good. Yeah. Like if you're just tuning in, we have to do up open phone lines, blah, blah, blah. But the podcast, I know, I went back and I listened to some earlier podcasts. I noticed we would say the same thing. Like if you're just tuning in, then I thought, well, who actually starts a podcast in the middle? Like, that's about the dumbest thing you can say in a podcast, right? Nobody starts a podcast. It's a 30-minute podcast. I'll start at minute 12. Like, no, everybody starts from the beginning. So everything that you need to say, you just say at the beginning of the podcast. Everybody knows what you're talking about. There's really no need to refresh.
Typically why they're shorter, right? Typically why they're shorter. The attention span of, you know, 10, 20 minutes is good, and then you're moving on,
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so today it is just Mike and I. We don't have any guests. We are probably not going to play any sound clips, but we do have a lot of material to talk about. This is the show, of course, where money meets politics, and so we do both on the radio and our podcast talk a lot about government policy and how that impacts the economy and the stock markets, and those two things are absolutely intertwined, whether it's trade, which we had a lot of news on in the last couple of weeks, whether it's the border security, whether it's tax policy or a lot of other things that, you know, healthcare, Obamacare.
Deal with China.
Yeah, right. So let's start with that, actually. Deal. Let's start with some of the big economic news this week. The deal, phase one, done, on his way to Davos. Yeah. He gets it done before he heads out. What a great
I've been saying forever, though. That's as soon as he goes back into office, get ready for phase two, three, and four, because Trump will have nothing to lose, right? He's got 4 years ahead of him. And I don't think he's done with China. You know, the next phase to the China deal is going to be the theft part of it, which I'm not exactly sure how he's going to attack that, but that's a big, big deal that we need to address and conquer. And I'm sure that'll be phase two for sure.
Absolutely. He's going to continue with it piece by piece. And he is the art of the deal, right? He knows how to negotiate and he's done. You know, you cannot possibly argue against the fact that he's done a phenomenal job with the negotiating tactics he's used, whether it be North Korea, whether it be the European Union, whether it be now China, or whether it be the new USMCA. He got that deal done before Christmas. That's a big deal, too.
To your point, putting together better trade deals with everybody else than negotiating with China was genius, right? Because it really put China in a very tough position where they had to negotiate with us.
Yep.
You know, it's really a shame that we had better trade deals with China than we did with partners like Canada and Mexico, which are, you know, neighbors to the south and north of us. So,
right.
But he did what he needed to do. So, and he's continuing to do it. And continuing to do with his campaign promises. I know we're way behind on where that border wall needs to be, but at least there's pieces of it going up. So,
you know, you look at the USMCA deal, and, you know, from a New York State perspective, that is said to have something like $1.5 billion of economic benefit to New York. And both Schumer and Gillibrand, are both of our New York State senators, both voted against it. I mean, really amazing that these folks are. They hate Trump so much, at least Schumer does, honest to God, that they will vote against the interests of their own state populace, their own voters, their own constituents, and certainly against America every single time.
Part of it's Trump. Part of it is they live in the state of New York and work with a guy named Andrew Cuomo, who's a total moron when it comes to economic policy. And that's why 70,000 people left that state last year and 1.4 million have left it over the last, like, decade. So it's going to continue, right? So whether it's high taxes, high regulations, or letting people out without bail who have, you know, I don't know, shot a gun in a public place or robbed a bank.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of New York, ICE ratcheting up the rhetoric against the Blasio and these folks in New York, and they did a couple of press conferences this week, and they made some pretty good statements. I mean, number one, they said, we're not asking, we're telling. Like, this is not a request, de Blasio. This is a demand. You know, the fallacy that, well, we're a sanctuary state now, and New York City is a sanctuary city, but we're only releasing illegal aliens that have not committed other crimes. That is absolutely phony. It's false.
Garbage.
The ICE office in New York has released a list of the murderers, rapists, child sex offenders, and so on, of the over 200 murderers, of folks that have been accused of murder, at least, that are illegal aliens. They have released, despite the fact that they're not supposed to. The acting director, Matt Albin, said this week, a phone call, one simple phone call, and Mrs. Fuertes would still be alive today. 92-year-old woman beaten to death in her own home. And one phone call, they released this guy, again in New York City, one phone call to ICE, and ICE swings by in about a half hour and picks the guy up, and this poor 92-year-old woman is still alive. If I'm her family, I am suing until the cows come home. I'm building the dream team like Trump's doing for his impeachment trial.
Well, but, you know, what's sad, Glenn, is that they will vote. And if you look at the polls, by the way, the New Yorkers can't stand this, right? They think it's you know, beyond stupid, but yet they'll vote all these idiots right back into office. Yeah. I mean, they will all walk right back into office. I mean, you know, you look at the polls, I think our hometown station, voters say new bail law is bad for New York, right?
No kidding.
Can't stand it, understand the stupidity of it, yet Andrew Cuomo will walk right back into office, right? Mm-hmm. All the stuff that happens up there, and you think there's no way, and he wins in a landslide. So they'll just continue to do what they're doing up there. Unfortunately or fortunately, you know, we just got to hope that the right New Yorkers are moving to Florida and places that, you know, are better for, you know, they don't bring their voting habits down there, right?
Yeah,
so
but even
we contain them to 18 miles.
Yeah, but even in Florida, what you're seeing, and Virginia is a classic example of this, as well as New York City, is you've got these real small enclaves, real tight populace with high population density, but a very small regional geographic area. You look at New York City, right? You've got these folks packed in the high rises. You know, you've got you know, subsidized housing and all kinds of stuff where you're giving subsidies to folks. You've got them, you know, in the public schools so you can indoctrinate them to liberal policies and the fact that it's not your fault that you can't get ahead. You just need a little bit more government assistance. So keep voting for the government, right? And unfortunately, these folks then dictate to the rest of the state, you know, how they should be, you know, what they should do. And you look at Virginia with this gun race. By the way, folks, if you're listening in New York, take note of what Virginia is doing. Virginia is a classic example of what New Yorkers need to do to protect your rights in the state of New York when it comes to gun control. In New York State, they passed gun control and maybe 1,000 people showed up in the Capitol. In Virginia, they tried to pass gun control. 22,000 people showed up at the state capitol. The governor had to call for a state of emergency. 16,000 of those 22,000 were armed American citizens, both Democrat and Republican. And guess what? One person was arrested. They were a leftist, not a right winger. But for all those in the media, for the governor Northam, who wore blackface, right? For him to cry that, you know, say and paint everybody with the broad stroke of, well, this is a white supremacist rally. These are violent extremists. These are violent right wingers. We need to call a state of emergency. We need a bar firearms. I want to say 16,000 U.S. citizens showed up at the Capitol with firearms. Not a single shot fired. Nobody was injured. No violence whatsoever. I love the governor and the media, though. Yeah. Well, thanks to our state police. Oh, please. What do you mean? What, the 400 state police? Let me tell you something. If the 16,000 armed citizens wanted to take over the Capitol, they would have right. done it, okay?
Well, did you see the police officers there with the signs that say we support the Second Amendment?
Of course. Half of the police officers were there in the protest.
By the way, all different types of people there, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Hispanic, black people, everybody getting along, everybody supporting and understanding the Second Amendment. People flying in, by the way, from all over the country to support that. I saw some folks from Texas that said, you know, it was they needed to get involved and be a part of it. So absolutely cool, and should send a message to the rest of the country. By the way, again, outside the state of New York and California, which are just a mess.
Well, but if we showed up like that, would they still? Now Virginia, they may still pass these laws, right? They're in session now, so they, you know, just because it's a huge protest. But I got to tell you, these counties are not going to they're not going to enforce the laws. So you can pass all the laws you want, and they're just going to simply ignore them, which, you know, creates a problem. So keep an eye on Virginia, because it's going to be that's going to set the tone for the rest of the country. And if you don't think, folks, that these lefties want to see how far they can take it, and if they're throwing up these trial balloons now, they're getting away with it in California, they're getting away with it in New York. If they get away with it in Virginia, if they ever take over the presidency and they have both houses of Congress again, you know, Obamacare, they passed Dodd-Frank. But you got to believe that they would ram gun control down everybody's throats to the point where I think potentially they do spark civil unrest, and I hope that never comes to that
Glenn,
point.
You said one thing, and then you nailed it. They get away with it, right? They continue to get away with it. It's amazing to me. Everybody says, we hate this, we don't like that, but yet we vote them in. And then they just ram their policies down our throats without any care in the world, right? It's sad.
But like I said, what they're doing is they're packing in the population into their inner cities, right? So you pack
in,
bring in the refugees, bring in illegal aliens, bring in the poor and the downtrodden and the folks that need government assistance. Bring them all in, get them hooked on make them dependent. Make them dependent on you so that they don't understand how a lot of them will go on and become super successful anyways, because they'll figure it out, right? They'll figure out, wait a minute now, you're handing me a turkey, but you're never really teaching me how to hunt, right? You're handing me a fish, but you're never teaching me how to fish. A lot of them will figure it out, but a lot of them won't. A lot of them will sit there like birds in a nest with their mouth open, waiting for the next handout, and the Democrats know that, and that's where the votes come from. That's their power base. And now, in places like Virginia, you know, you've got some, again, like one or two very, you know, highly populated cities, you know, the state capital and outside of D.C., and that now dictates the rest of the state, just like 8 miles of New York City does. It's a very dangerous precedent that we need to really be on the lookout for and stop what's going on.
I don't watch the UFC, but did you happen to catch the Conor McGregor fight?
I watched the replay. 45 seconds?
Lasted all about 45 seconds. But after it, he was talking about Trump being a phenomenal president, possibly the greatest of all time. Uh-huh. I would tell you it's funny, because if you ever watch some of the interviews of Conor McGregor and Donald Trump, you, from a business standpoint, forget about whether you like him or hate him, from a business standpoint, these guys certainly know how to market themselves. McGregor reminds me a lot of Trump. I mean, not, you know, he gets in that fight, the pregame fights and all that stuff, but he has figured out a way to market himself where it's funny, because I'm not a UFC guy, and I was like, I couldn't wait to watch that fight.
Let me tell you something else that's very similar between McGregor and Trump. They know how to win. That's the key, right?
Yeah.
When I watched that replay of that fight last night, McGregor won because he threw his shoulder. I mean, he literally used his shoulder to pop the guy in the face, and he caught him, above the nose. And and that fazed him. That set up the kick that ultimately, you know, put him down.
Unreal.
But, you know, when you look at that, you think to yourself, well, nobody expected that. You get into you start to grapple, and you get in that situation. No one's going to expect to get hit with their shoulder blade. I mean, totally unorthodox. But that just goes to show that he's going to do what it takes to win, right? McGregor knows how to win, right? It's legal. Yep. It wasn't illegal. It was absolutely legal, but he knows how to win. Trump is the same. Well, Trump knows how to win, whether it's walking away from the deal, whether it's, you know, throwing down the gauntlet or whatever. He knows how to win.
speaking of winning, McGregor's remarks came in response to Trump tweeting, "It was exactly 3 years ago today, January 20th, 2017, that I was sworn into office. So appropriate that today is also Martin Luther King Jr. Day. African-American unemployment rates at an all-time low, yep. lowest in U.S. history.
Yep.
By far, also best poverty, youth, and unemployment numbers ever."
Well,
great.
If the Republicans can
McGregor
close
responded,
the wall.
Phenomenal president.
Phenomenal.
Quite possibly the best in the U.S.
Absolutely.
Ever. Yeah.
So if Trump can close the wall, right, if Trump can get this wall built and the Republicans can back him on this, essentially he shuts down the new Democrat voter base and because they're yes. and they're losing their existing base because
yeah.
a lot of these folks in the African-American community and the Latino community are waking up going, wait a minute now, why wouldn't I support Trump? I mean, especially
Trump is tightening up the welfare laws, right?
Which is
key, right? Mm-hmm. Getting rid of and reducing the benefits just a few weeks ago for people between the ages of 19 and 49, males between the ages of 19 and 49 without kids, you know, saying, look, if you don't get a job over a 3-year period, if you don't get a job now, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it is right. absolutely 1,000% right. your fault, right?
Right?
You are being dependent on the system. If you need help, if you need mental help, let's go out and find programs for you. Let's get you the help you need. We all understand that people go through certain things, but at some point, you got to try something, right?
Yep.
And now is the greatest time to force these people into the workforce for them, for their own mental health, right?
Right.
Get a job, be something, you know, have some value to your life. Like you show up 9 to 5 and create something cool, and this is a great time to do that.
Well, I tell you, if Trump can build the wall, stop the illegal flood of coming over the border, and then fix immigration so that we can actually bring in masses of legal immigrants. I got to tell
right.
you, the you know Mexican Latino populations in general are you know they share most of the conservative values, right? They're religious in nature. They're hardworking people. They don't want they're prideful folks. I mean, for the most part, they fit right in with the Republican Party. But it's
yeah.
I think the you know a lot of what's coming over the border, unfortunately, are the gangbangers, the El Salvadorians that are not the doctors
sure.
and the engineers from El Salvador. They're the gangbangers, yep. the MS-13 members. These are folks that are coming to this country to sell drugs and do crime and exploit the system. They're not coming here to be, you know, a productive member of the American society. No, of course not.
No.
And so
but
that's what the Democrats want. Democrats want those
yeah.
folks because that essentially is their voting base. And again, they're losing the black vote because those folks are waking up saying, wait a minute now, Trump is doing well by me, and I'm better off for it. And again, a rising tide lifts all boats, and you're seeing that here with Trump. Trump walks back into the landslide. Now with this impeachment
going on.
You saw
that, by the way.
Oh,
my
gosh.
You saw that, by the way, with him winning Florida, right?
Absolutely.
The concern in Florida was he would just, the Hispanic vote would dominate down there, and he would lose Florida.
Yeah.
And so goes
it dominated.
Florida, so goes the rest of the country. But
it dominated
all right.
They voted for him. And they're going to vote for him
right.
again.
Yeah.
So
they are going to vote for him again.
One of the biggest gifts probably this year for Trump is it's going to be this impeachment. But before we talk about the impeachment, how frustrated must you have to be if you're Bernie Sanders? Is he just going to lay down and get kicked in the teeth again CNN totally sandbags him and sets up? Same thing with New York Times. New York Times over the weekend endorsing Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren. What a cop-out that is, right? So he gets come on. He's just getting hosed left,
right,
and center.
But now you got Biden. Now you got Biden's brother in a scandal, right?
Yeah.
So
great?
You got Biden's son, Biden's brother, everything tying back to him and Joe Biden's connections with you know being in a public office and you know awarding contracts to people and using his influence to make his family members money, right? No secret that these guys get out and then they make their own money as well. But so what a perfect opportunity if you're Sanders now to move into the position of being the guy, right? Because of another scandal behind Joe,
yep.
But yet the mainstream media is going to do whatever they can to keep him out. Which you know he doesn't. I don't think any of them have a shot. But the funny thing is I've said this forever: the only one who has a little bit of a shot is Joe, right? He was a middle of the road candidate, the Democrat
well,
Party,
get the nod,
a huge. A huge, big part of that base is the working class guy. You got to be more middle of the road. They're not for the massive amounts of welfare and the government taking over health care. These folks get it. They understand what socialism does and the damage it's going to do. But You know, so he is the little bit of hope that they have. But now, I mean, can you imagine? You know, look at what Trump did without any help from the media to expose the Clinton family, right? Mm-hmm. And how dangerous they were and what kind of scumbags they were. Can you imagine what Trump is going to do with the Biden family mm-hmm. when he gets his hands on them? I cannot wait.
Well, it's amazing.
I cannot wait for those debates.
The rest of the media it's like media blackout, right? So everything negative, 90-something% negative coverage on Trump. But when you look at this story is being broken by Breitbart, and actually it's really coming out in Peter Schweitzer's new book, Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. And he details Frank Biden first set his sights on the region, Costa Rica, in 2009, just as the Obama administration began to repair the U.S. relationship with them. Just so happens that they, he sent out his good old right-hand person, Joe Biden, to head down there and, Joe had some deep ties, some long-standing ties to the region from his tenure leading the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. But shortly after the new administration took office, Frank Biden began scouting real estate opportunities in Costa Rica. Funny, because a lawyer by training, Frank was undeterred by his lack of background in international development and decades-old legal troubles at home.
You and I have friends that are in the development business in the United States of America.
Unreal.
You know how hard it is to develop projects and get things done in the U.S., let alone understanding all the barriers to doing business in a place like that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Right. But this is great, though.
This is ridiculously sad
that nobody's
going to do the journalism. Let him go. Let him walk. Right.
Nobody. You could easily find this stuff. NBC could easily report on this. CNN could easily look this up and report on this.
By the way,
Peter Schweitzer to write a new book. Come on.
What's beautiful is they can't even find any stories against Trump.
No, they make him up. They got to make him up.
And he's in the real estate business, right?
They got to make him up.
In the real estate business. Right. They can't find anything against him in the real estate business.
Here's what they had against him.
Biden's brother.
Yes. Yeah. Here's what they had against Trump. Oh, my God. He's willing to host the United Nations at his Adoral Miami resort. self-interest. Oh, he goes, fine. I thought it's the nicest resort in Miami. You want to have it somewhere else? Go have it somewhere else. Who cares?
Right.
Right.
It was probably
the guy's worth billions.
Costing him money out of his personal.
He was doing it. He's like, I was doing it at cost. Okay. Which means I don't make profit. Okay. I was doing it at cost.
Right.
I was trying to be nice. Yeah. Obvious. So
the
media is all over him for that. And yet in this story, let me read another piece of this from Breitbart. Just months after Vice President Joe Biden's visit in August, Costa Rica News announced a new multilateral partnership, quote, to reform real estate in Latin America, end quote, between guess who? Frank Biden, a developer named Craig Williamson, and the, Guanacaste Country Club, a newly planned resort. Nice. This is great.
Nice.
So in real terms, Frank's dream was to build in the jungles of Costa Rica thousands of homes and a world-class golf course, casinos, and an anti-aging center.
Without any track record of ever being able
never.
To do that.
And the Costa Rican government was eager to cooperate with the vice president's brother. No kidding.
I bet.
Guess how many millions this cost the American taxpayer? So he got millions of dollars in loans. I think something like 50. Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, what a joke. It's just, but they won't even look at it. Nobody will look at it, right? So anyway, so the impeachment trial starts today. Let's just end with this because this is probably the most a hot topic of the week. So this is going to be a real, real fun because Trump, as expected, has put together the dream team. He's got Alan Dershowitz so far. He's got Ken Starr, who obviously has been around the block as a special prosecutor and very involved with the Clinton impeachment, of course. So you've got and Dershowitz, by the way, is a lifelong Democrat. He is a lifelong. He's voted for every Democrat president since 1952. He's according to him. Mm-hmm. Anybody says in this case there is no crime. He is a constitutionalist first. And an American citizen first, and he's saying that this is absolutely ridiculous. And, the abuse of power, first of all, is not an impeachable crime, even if it was true. And you can't obstruct Congress when there was nothing to obstruct to begin with. And so he's now on this legal team. So the Trump administration the Trump legal team now has pretty much laid out its defense and how they're going to handle this. And I got to tell you, they are going to wipe the floor with the Democrats. By the time they're done, I'm going to put this prediction out there right now. They're going to have to come up with some sort of a false flag big news cycle event to take the focus off the impeachment. It's going to go so bad for the Democrats.
It won't matter.
That they're going to have to, you know, something's going to have to happen. They're going to have to blow something up or create some sort of a shooting. Another Vegas event.
Yeah. Oh, no. It won't matter. The fact of the matter is, President Donald Trump knows how to abuse the media. He's used them the first time around, and he'll use this as a launching pad for to walk back into the office in 2020. So
yep, no doubt.
This will be great, and good for the – this was the Hail Mary pass for the Democrats, and it's going to get intercepted and brought back for a touchdown, which will be even a bigger embarrassment for him.
Well, so. The sad thing is what this is a quote. Let me read this quote, and you tell me what you think. Now, this could be a quote that you would think that this individual was talking about, let's say, like, I don't know, the Iranian leader or maybe Kim Jong Il, you know, or somebody like that, right?
Yeah.
Here's what he said in 2016.
No, they praised them. They praised them. Yeah.
In 2016, only from New York, of course, we cannot wait 4 years to vote Mr. Trump out of office. We must keep our eyes on two important goals, depressing Trump's public support and dividing the congressional GOP from him and from each other. That from Jerry Nadler, House Judicial Chairman. On this particular slide that I'm looking at, they have him as a Republican in New York. I don't know if he is a Republican. Maybe he was at the time. But nevertheless, Nadler, you would think that they'd be talking about a foreign leader. We're going to divide. Two important goals. He had two important goals as the House Judiciary Chairman. Depressing Trump's public support and dividing the congressional GOP. Now, does that sound like something you do to Iran, right? To destabilize Iran?
Right. That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
When I say anti-American, these liberals are, that's exactly what I mean, folks. That right there.
Let me say this. Trump did not have the full support of the Republican Party last time. They were deathly afraid of somebody with a backbone. With a backbone? You're right. Absolutely. Trump has brought the Republican Party together. Outside of a few outcast guys like Mitt Romney, who are not really welcome in the party anymore, the party is getting behind him. They're rallying behind him. They see what he's done. And you know, if Trump could only convince them that it's okay to put their spine back in their body, we'd be in great shape, but he's going to get their support this time, which is a big deal, right?
Yep, so, and I think the Democrats are helping out there a lot too.
Yeah, and the Mitt Romneys are going bye-bye. Everybody's sick and tired of them. We've had enough of you, Mitt. We know you're...
If they put anybody up against Mitt Romney in Utah, anybody, any decent Republican, Mitt Romney loses. They don't like him at all out there. His poll numbers are in the toilet out there. But I got to tell you, in addition to Trump, you know, galvanizing the party with what he's doing and the success he's having, the Democrats are equally, you know, driving a lot of people to the Republican Party. And you look at Virginia, just to circle back on that to close out today's show, you know, those were Democrats and Republicans. In fact, those were – not that I would want to ever have a rally with these folks because I think they're nut jobs, but Antifa was there too in support of the Second Amendment, right? Again, I wouldn't want anything to do with them because I think they're a terrorist organization. I think they should be banned in this country. But, you know, again, what you're doing from a Democrat Party perspective, from a liberal elite perspective, is you're going down a path of driving Democrats to the same side of the table as Republicans when it comes to issues like gun control and many others. And that's going to make it really easy for Trump when you start to rack up what the Democrats are doing in Virginia, plus his successes on the economy and things like that. I think he's impossible
He won the union vote big time, and I'll tell you what, most a big chunk of these union guys and girls are Second Amendment. They like to hunt. They like to protect their family. They like to go out and shoot guns for fun, and you know, and they're safe with them, and they understand them, and they give, you know, they're the right people with the guns. So now you've got Donald Trump saying, look at, we're going to fight China and make sure your manufacturing jobs are coming back here to stay, right? We're not going to take your guns. You can go out and hunt, and you can protect your family. All you working-class men and women, I'm the vote for you. So he walks right back in. Mm-hmm. He got the vote last time. You know, I'm even shocked that more of some of the union leadership at, you know, the UAW and places like that didn't support Trump. But
but they're on the dole too.
They didn't fall for it.
But they're on the dole too. See, that's the thing. The Democrat leadership is just like union leadership is just like the Democrat leadership, right? They're lining their own pockets. I mean, look at some of these union leaders in places like New York and or on a national basis. They're making millions of dollars a year. right? And so, no, they don't. They don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart when it comes to the gravy train. They've set themselves up just like a Joe Biden or a Chuck Schumer has set himself up or herself up.
Yeah, you know? Great point.
Yep. Anyway, all right, that's going to do it for us, folks. Thanks again for listening. We do really appreciate it. If you like what you hear, do us a favor, folks. Share it with your friends. You can share podcasts very easily, I'm sure, as you know. If you also, if you can subscribe to the podcast, if you're, I guess you're not going to watch the one on YouTube, are you? Are we going to do this as a, do we put up a graphic
so people can watch it? No? I didn't shave. Glenn looks great this week, but I didn't shave, so.
Well, I guess we're putting up a, we put up a graphic on YouTube. So if you did watch this or listen to us on YouTube, do us a favor, hit the notification bell below, give us a thumbs up. We appreciate that. That's a huge help to us as well. And then again, share it with your friends. So we appreciate it. So if you need us throughout the week,
hopefully,
folks,
it's a different picture. I'm hopping on an airplane.
No, not your
picture.
That won't be this picture. It'll be a different picture. It'll be a stock photo. Stock photo.
I'm just kidding.
We'll put up Brad Pitt on your behalf.
Yes. There you go.
We do manage money for a living, folks. If you do need us throughout the week, we didn't talk a whole lot of money this show, but we will probably do on this coming Saturday's radio shows. We will have some special guests in studio talking about Social Security and how to optimize that. So don't miss that this weekend, 1 to 3 on various stations. You can look up the Financial Guys on iHeartRadio or radio.com, or you can go to our website at thefinancialguys.com, find out all the information as well as all of our social media links is Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. What am I missing? I think I got it off. All right, perfect.
Go to our website.
Go to our website.
It's all there.
All there.
And you know what? All the social media stuff, it's like it just keeps adding on and adding on and adding on. I don't know.
We don't have a TikTok yet, but my kids are telling me that's the next thing we got to have. I'm not even sure what that is. Like, how does TikTok differ than YouTube?
That's what I sent you. That's what little Allie did.
I know.
Right?
It's hilarious.
With the video.
So adorable. Yeah. Anyway, all right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Thanks again for listening. We do appreciate it. Again, thefinancialguys.com. If you want more information on us, and share it, like it, subscribe to it, and hit the notification bell. We'd appreciate that. On behalf of Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle with the Financial Guys, and we'll talk to you next week right here on the podcast, and we'll talk to you this weekend on the radio shows as well. Thanks for listening.